and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Siebel, and we've got a dynamic hour for you on this Monday, and we're so looking forward to sharing so many good things with you. Now, write down our telephone number, because you're going to want to have it handy, so you can call in later on in the hour. The telephone number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For those of you who are regular listeners to the Donna Siebel Show, you know we always have such fascinating and interesting guests. Well, it's no less true today. And what are we going to be focusing on? That big four-letter word, L-O-V-E. And there are so many out there that just think they'll never, ever meet anybody special. Well, we're going to be having this afternoon as a guest, Margaret McCaw. And her wonderful book is called Tune Into Love. Margaret, welcome.
Hi. Hello, thank you.
And where are you at this time?
I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. That's where my home is.
Baltimore, Maryland. All right. Now, Baltimore is such a beautiful place. And here you are, such a very talented lady. You are a licensed psychotherapist and motivational speaker. You teach. You are the founder and president of the Institute of Vibrational Synchronicity. You do personal coaching. You're also a faculty member of the American Holistic University. You've got over 25 years of experience as a healthcare and business consultant. You work with people from all walks of life, professionals and lay people as well. And I would like to ask you, why is it that you chose how to tune into love? What was it that was so significant to you that you felt that this was really something that people had to hear about?
Well, I can tell you exactly when, because the concept of lining up your vibration, tuning into love, applies beyond our romantic relationships. It applies to everything in our life to help us bring forth our desires. And when I left the world, the regular work world, 12, 15 years ago, somewhere in that range, where I was getting a regular paycheck, I decided to go into consulting and work on my own. And you have a choice, as anybody knows who's an entrepreneur. You can go to a place of fear and wonder where your next paycheck is, or you can tune into love and say, I'm going to line up my energy and my thoughts with what I desire here, and I'm going to stay in that space. And I first learned these concepts in the world of business and setting up my consulting practice.
Well, you know, when you hear the word vibration, people will say, oh, good gracious, here we go again.
Right.
Here's someone using this term vibrations. It sounds like something out of the 60s, and it's a total turnoff for me. Why is it that you use that word?
Well, because it really conveys more than anything else what we're talking about. Vibration is really it's a wave of energy, and no different than a radio wave is a real thing that we cannot see, but it exists. We are all projecting the same thing, an energy. Everything that is inside of us is about energy. And so there really was no other word that I found relayed exactly what I wanted to say. We all can relate to vibes. I think everybody uses that word. You go to a party, you meet somebody, or you interview for a job, and the person you're meeting is giving off vibes, and you walk away with a good sense about the meeting, the interview, the interaction, or a sense of this doesn't work too well for me. We can all relate to that. But what I mean by vibes is it's really a combination of our thoughts and our beliefs and our emotions that are projected outward, Donna, into a wave, really very much like a radio wave. And that is what other people are picking up in us all the time. We are projecting, and we are picking it up in others all the time.
Well, you have two words that I really like to use together, especially when it's coming into the aspect of romantic relationships, and that's magnetic attraction.
Yes.
I think that those are two words that are very powerful words. Now, I do want to mention to those of you who are just tuning into the show today, Tune Into Love is the book we're talking about, and we have a couple of books as giveaways today. Margaret McCaw is my guest, and this is How to Attract Romance Through the Power of What She Calls Vibrational Matching. Now, with this, one of the things I noticed in your book is that it it can apply across the board for so many things, but we're really going to focus on the romantic aspect because there are so many people that feel like all they get are the clumpy dumps of life, and there's not a hope or a prayer of ever attracting anybody into their space. What is your first positioning with that? What would you say to someone that goes, oh, good grief, you have no idea. There are so many ding-dongs out there, and it seems like you get more dongs than the dings, and it's just absolutely impossible, and they go on and on and on. What would you say to them?
The first thing I say is we really need to stop talking about what you don't want, because the more we focus on what you don't want, the more you are bringing it into your field. You are bringing it in. You are what I call a vibrational match. You are lining yourself up to attract exactly what you do not want. And let me just explain for a minute. Every one of us carries a dominant energy around what each desire we have. We can have a certain energy around money. We know people who feel they never have enough. We know people who feel they have plenty, and they come from a place of abundance. We have a dominant vibration around our relationships, just like we do around money or anything else. And so there are people who will feel, as you just described, that everything they're meeting, everyone they're meeting, is just opposite of what they want. And that is for one of two reasons, Donna, that we are attracting things that we don't want. One, we could be projecting the same thing from ourselves and not aware of it. The other reason that we attract things in our life that we don't want is that we are focusing attention on whatever it is that we do not want. So let me give you an example. Would that be helpful?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Okay. This is somebody who she was married at one point. She had a great marriage. When the marriage ended, she became very frustrated, very disillusioned, was very angry about finding herself back in the dating world. And with that anger, no one matched her husband. No one matched the integrity of her husband. In her mind, mm-hmm. nobody could ever, ever, ever match him. And so nobody really had a chance. So she, every time she'd go out on dates, she'd say, you know, nobody's going to be able to be as honest and loving as my husband. I'll never be able to trust anybody like my husband. Well, she has for years attracted exactly the same thing. She refused to believe that she had some control over what was coming into her experience. And so integrity was a very big issue. What she wanted more than anything was to attract a man who would be monogamous and loving, trustworthy, loyal to her, and to recommit to someone where she could remarry. So that was what she wanted. That's on one side of the coin. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the coin was her fear of not having what she wanted. So she would continually talk about, after she had a date, she would talk about what was wrong with that date. And then if she did find somebody that she dated for a while and she found them to be honest and she thought they were honest, it seemed like everyone right down the line ended up dating somebody else, not telling her, cheating on her, as she would call it. And so she would then call every friend in the book and tell every friend what happened and how horrible it was, and how she was disillusioned with this. And she would energize it over and over again. Then she'd start dating again, and next person she met, she'd get her hopes up, and she'd find out that it was the same old, same old. What she needed to do was she had a choice. She could focus on the side of the coin that was what she wanted, integrity, honesty, monogamous, loyal commitment, or she could focus on just the opposite of that. And she focused on the opposite, and she had years of continuing to attract that. It took a while to get her to understand and really believe that her thoughts and her emotions around this was affecting everything she was bringing into her experience. That's why in the book I give quite a bit of research that explains quantum physics, not in detail in terms of scientific, but more in general layperson's terms about our thoughts really do create what we're bringing into our experience. Our emotions are very powerful because however emotional we are about what we don't want, we're bringing it in more quickly. And just the opposite of that, however emotional we are about what we do want, we are bringing into our experience more quickly. So the research in the book kind of lays the groundwork for why this is really true, that we have scientific evidence to prove the validity of all of this. And then this woman was eventually able to do a shift once she understood that there was scientific proof that she did have control over what her experiences were about. The self-fulfilling prophecy is very much real and alive.
Well, I think that there's so much just good sense that you have in here, because the reality is, if you, let's say you went to a party and there were 250 people there. Mm-hmm. You've got 250 people with wonderfully diverse backgrounds. You can walk in with an attitude of saying, there's nobody there that I'm going to like. Absolutely nobody there. I don't even know why I'm here. And you, well, like you said, it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If, on the other hand, you walked into that party and said, this could be an adventure.
Yeah.
Over 200 opportunities here. Maybe it wouldn't work out, but gee whiz, it's going to be a lot of fun exploring. And just that difference right there, people read into that immediately. And I think that your book has so many wonderful, wonderful comments. Now, by the way, I mentioned to those of you who are tuned into the show, Tune Into Love is the name of this book by Margaret McCraw. And we've got two books to give away today. So give a call at 877-876-5227. And Don, my engineer, will take the information. And you can always, again, call 877-876-5227, and we'll be sure that you get a free book. Now, I want to mention a quote that you have in your book. I really like this. And it's by Albert Einstein. The intellect has little to do on the road to discovery. There comes a leap in consciousness, call it intuition or what you will, and the solution comes to you and you don't know how or why. And I know in my world that has been something that's been quite significant, and it's sort of growing with the flow. But sometimes we need to pay attention to intuition. How strong does that play in your experience and background and knowledge?
I think it plays very strong.
Why?
Very, very, very strong. I'll give you an example. I mean, when you mentioned the party earlier, going to a party with the spirit of adventure rather than the spirit of I've got to meet somebody at this party, a spirit of desperation. A true story is a woman was telling me recently that she went to a party and she went with the spirit of adventure, and she didn't see any men there that she was particularly interested in, but her intuition said that she really wanted to meet a woman in the room, that there was not from an intimate sexual perspective, but she just wanted to get to know her. So she got to know this woman, and they went out a few times as girlfriends and had some fun. And the woman that she felt so strongly she wanted to meet had an ex-boyfriend whom she adored, had continued to remain friends with, but they were not compatible in certain ways, and so they had broken up. So the woman she met felt very strongly she wanted to introduce my friend to her ex-boyfriend. She introduced them. They were a great match. They dated for a period of time, and now they're engaged to get married.
What a wonderful, wonderful story.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is that the woman allowed things to evolve.
Yes.
And I think there are so many links. Goodness, that's how I met my husband. We've been married for 30 years.
Wow.
And in a million years. I mean, I've been single for years and years and years, and I had absolutely no intention of getting involved with anyone. I decided, nope, no way, not going to be bothered. And as it turns out, a couple I had met that invited me to their home to demonstrate some things, some skills and talents, I went there and he was there. First time I met him, wasn't interested in the least. Second time I met him, wasn't interested then either. Third time was the charm. We were invited to a party. In fact, we had been invited to parties that this person, these people put on frequently. And either I came and he didn't, or vice versa. And the third time was a charm. And we've literally been together ever since then, which is 30 years later.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great story.
It is a great story. And there's a lot more fun detail, but I'm not going to waste your time telling you that. But
another interview, Donna.
Another interview, right. But the thing is, in your book, you go into that. And you go into, using your word that you like so much, vibrational attraction. Explain that.
Explain vibrational attraction?
Yes.
It's when we are, whatever we are projecting, we link in with another one projecting a match for that. And let me explain that. This is really a magnetic attraction as well. Let's say somebody is putting out a vibration that they want a loving partner. They want somebody who can be generous with them. They want somebody who loves to travel. That's what they're looking for as far as a partner. And they want somebody who can commit to marriage. If they are truly putting out that vibration aligned with their desire rather than aligned with the fear of not having those things, then they will bring into their experience through what we call coincidence or synchronicity, as Carl Jung called it.
Mm-hmm.
We will bring into our experience, just like you met your husband at a party, we will bring into our experience somebody who matches what we are projecting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other side of the coin, I'll give you, an example of what we have lots of studies on in patterns. Women or men who have been in abusive relationships for years, they keep attracting a same pattern, abusive relationships, whether it's emotional or physical abuse. What they are projecting, and the psychological studies have proven this over and over again, they're projecting a sense of not feeling good about themselves, feeling that they are unworthy. And so they attract, coincidentally you can call it, but it's not accidentally, they're consistently attracting somebody into their experience who reinforces for them what they feel about themselves, which is unworthiness, feeling that they don't deserve somebody who will be loving and generous and thoughtful with them because their vibration is one of low self-esteem. That's why the studies show over and over again people who attract the same situation over and over again, these abusive situations, there's no accident to this. They could just as well as you or I attract somebody who's generous and loving, but they're attracting the other, not because they want to be abused. That's a mistake that most people think. They think that on some level these people want to be abused,
mm-hmm.
these individuals who are being abused. No, that's not the case. They do not consciously want to attract somebody who's emotionally or physically abusive any more than anybody in your audience is saying, how do I attract somebody who is never takes me out or can never keep a job or is, always dumps me after the first or second date. It doesn't matter. Those patterns that we attract that we're not happy with are reflecting inside of us some unworthiness that we are feeling.
And that that is in so many areas of life. I think that so much of what you've given here, and we're talking with Margaret McCraw, Tune In to Love. And by the way, we have two free books to give away. So give us a call at 877-876-5227 if you'd like a free copy. One of the components that you mentioned, and I think this is a very valid one, it's making a wish list. And I know of a man who finally, after a lousy relationship, did exactly this, and it was hysterical because he had 6 pages, fine-lined pages,
mm-hmm.
and he filled all 6 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman he ended up meeting, it was 3 years after he had written it, and he went through a couple of unpleasant situations in the meanwhile, but it was 3 years later, and he met the woman, and when she saw the 6 pages, she happened to come across them, she said, oh, my Lord, look at this. And he said, well, how do you fit? She said, well, it's me except on 2 points. 6 pages. He said, that's not too bad.
That's pretty good.
So talk about the wish list. This is
I
good.
Will, because one of the first steps, it's actually step 2 in the book that I talk about, is identifying your desires or clarifying your desires. And making a wish list is the beginning step, but there are a few other steps beyond that. But it's one of the most key steps that you really cannot attract what you want unless you know what you want. And so you want to make a list that addresses as much detail as you want about the desires that you have for mate. It could be something like this. You would like to meet a man who's at least your height or taller. You would like to meet a man who's in the age range of, let's say, 38 to 50. You would like to meet somebody who's local, somebody who's within, a 50-mile radius, so that seeing one another is easy and convenient enough. You don't have to hop a plane to get on, you know, to meet or go out on a date. You can put something about dietary. You want them to have healthy dieting. You want them to be physically in shape. You want them to be somebody who has a great sense of humor. These are just examples. I give you an example in the book, a very detailed example of a wish list. Not 6 pages, but it is quite detailed of the things somebody might want to consider. What I find, two errors for people when they create their wish list that they make, is that they think about their relationships that they haven't been happy in, and then they add those things to the wish list. Like they'll say, I don't want somebody who's financially broke. I don't want somebody who can't keep a job. I don't want somebody who's mean. And so once again, it's very important to energize what you do want rather than what you don't want. So if you're thinking about some relationships where you've not been happy, it's okay to say, okay, what didn't I like about these relationships? But then you want to very quickly turn your attention to the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about somebody who is financially broke, think about somebody who has a consciousness of prosperity and handles money responsibly. You could put that on your wish list instead of I don't want somebody who's broke. And think about, instead of I don't want somebody who's overweight, put on your wish list, I want somebody who's trim and lean, athletic, toned, health-oriented, something like that would cover you for that concern. So always look at what you weren't happy with. It's okay to give it a moment's attention just so that you tune into what's the opposite of that.
And I think that's a very good point, because there are so many individuals that can say what they don't want.
Yes.
They know that. So when you write that down, then immediately when you say, well, I don't want this, but I want this, that gives you something to work with, because so often we get caught up with what we don't have.
Yes.
Or what we perceive as scarcity, which really isn't there. And that is a tough one to get past, because we all have habits.
Yes.
And it's so easy to get stuck in them. And I think when it comes to the partnership area, there is such a sense of wanting to control everything that goes on, and there is that serendipitous magic in happening that can occur. Now, here, someone, we've already gone through step two, we've got the wish list there, we go over it, we know what works, what doesn't work for us, and then how do we activate our intentions?
Okay. Well, your intentions, and I give some examples of how to write intentions in the book, so that they're powerful. But to boil this down in essence, is activating your intentions means you have to believe that you can have what you want. And you just mentioned that in the sense of buying into abundance rather than buying into scarcity, Donna. So it's the belief. And what I would say is, you know, think about individuals who have attracted what they wanted, and let yourself be inspired by those stories rather than thinking about your girlfriends, your siblings, or people who are in marriages where they're unhappy, or dating somebody or not dating somebody. Don't give those attention. Give attention to the story that you, Donna, just shared with us, a wonderful story of how you met your husband and you've had 30 wonderful years.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the stories that you want to energize. What I do when I'm trying to shift my belief to something stronger so that I can attract whatever it might be in my life, I start looking at who in my life has done what I want to do. When I first was sending the book out to be published and I heard a million stories of how difficult it is to be published, I refused to hear those stories. And I started thinking about, well, wait a minute, how many books have been published? There's a million books that have been published and more.
Oh, sure.
And I started thinking about, well, who do I know that's been published? And I started energizing that. I started energizing, even if I don't know somebody, let's go to the bookstore. How many people got published? There were many. So you want to look at who's accomplished what you want to accomplish. And that brings it forth much more quickly. If I would have sat there and bought into, oh, gosh, it's so difficult to get published. You'll have to, you know, you won't be able to do this. You'll have to go the self-publishing route. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because there isn't. But I wanted a publisher. I wanted somebody to take charge of this for me. And so you want to do the same thing when you attract a relationship. Focus on those friends, those siblings, your parents even, anybody you know that has attracted some good date, wonderful dates that they've been happy with. If you've attracted somebody in your life that you have enjoyed dating, even if it didn't work out for the long run, think about the good times you had. Think about the good relationship you had for the time that it lasted, and energize all of that. That will help you activate your intentions. The other piece to activating intentions, Donna, is to feel the emotion around what you want. The passion that we feel for the desire brings it in much more quickly. If we feel kind of like, oh, ho-hum, you know, I don't really want this, you know, or it doesn't matter, there's a fine line between a que sera, sera attitude of I don't have to meet somebody and feeling some passion for meeting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes more quickly. You were single for a long time, but
yes.
You had said that you weren't looking, you weren't expecting, it wasn't something top of your list.
Right.
To get married, to meet, bring your partner
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
But there had to be some type of opening for you to have the synchronistic event of meeting somebody who ended up being your life partner. There had to be you weren't resisting it any longer is what I would say.
Well, what I reached was the point is I don't even think it's a possibility. And I think it was releasing and letting it go. Because I went through patternings like so many people do. You're on the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I swear there is a special perfume that's manufactured when you do that.
Yes,
because
you're right.
You'll get all of these characters that come out of the woodwork. And you, just like we were discussing earlier, go, what is it? Where did this person come from? But there is, and I'll use the term energy, this energy that goes out when you're on the hunt, mm-hmm. and whether it's male or female, it's there. And it's like all the flim-flam men and women of the world will say, hello, Tootsie, I gotcha.
You're right. You're
and
right.
There yeah, you've got it, and then you go, oh, my goodness, there might have been something wrong with me, you know, I'm a terrible person or whatever, but that isn't it. And I just think it happened when it happened because I just said, who cares? Forget it. And I shifted my focus entirely into something else because I reached a point where if it was going to happen, fine. Down deep, I very deeply wanted to be married.
Yes.
That was very important to me.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was very, you know, that's true with a lot of people. But I'll have to share something with you quickly. Oops, we're almost out of time. I've got a friend who's in her late 80s that got married, and she is just, she's married to a guy that's 7 years younger than she is, I think. It's absolutely awesome. So,
and she's how old?
She's 89 now.
Oh, that's a great story.
It's fabulous. You
that's
know, we're almost out of time, Margaret.
Okay.
What's your website, hon?
It's www.tuneintolove, the name of the book, .com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go there and you can buy the book at Amazon or any major bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Borders, www.tuneintolove.com. I also have relationship tips on there. So click on the link to relationships and you'll see a list of tips to attract your ideal mate.
Awesome. Tune in to love. My guest today has been Margaret McCraw. Margaret, thank you so much. It's
thank
been
you. This
a
has
delight.
Been delightful.
Have a wonderful day.
You
and
too.
We're taking a break, so don't you go away. And, hey, we've got two free books to give away. Tune in to love. Call 877-876-5227. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna. By the way, we have two books to give away. Give us a call at 877-876-5227. Tune in to love. It's the title of this book by Margaret McCraw, and I do want to spell her last name. It's M-C-C-R-A-W, and you can go to her website, tuneintolove.com, which is real easy to do. My gracious, we all have those challenges, and it's so nice to know that someone's put together some good material that is actually practical and usable. Now, telephone lines are open if you would like to call in and chat with me today. Give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's right, it's the same number as for the book, 877-876-5227. Now, I receive emails every day, and so those of you that have a special story you'd like to share, something that's very significant, maybe you got a wonderful recipe that you think my listeners would enjoy, I want you to just email me at donna@delphiinternational.com. just send me an email, because I might be able to share it on the air. And sometimes it's a while because I have so much material that I go through, but this is a delightful experience for me, and I always enjoy hearing from you. And don't forget, bbsradio.com has so many different programs, and we're available 24 hours a day, and shows are archived. And by the 1st of July, some wonderful things are happening, so if you should happen to miss a show, you're going to be able to go in, and that show is going to be there for you. But meanwhile, if you've missed any of the previous shows, just go on in and go into the Donna Sebo Show, and you'll find a whole slew of programs that you'll be able to listen to. Okay, I wanted to share an animal story with you. By the way, I want to say I received an email from Alan and Linda Anderson, and they have just lost their wonderful dog. These are two people that have a website that is dedicated to angel animals, and they're just such wonderful, wonderful people. They'll be coming up at some time in the future on my show, and they are totally dedicated to animals of all types. And they shared this one story with me, and it was from a woman who was raised in Sierra Leone, West Africa. Yes, and of course this show can be heard around the globe. And this is by Diana Stewart Coster, and Linda and Alan sent it to me, and I thought, gee, I'd like to share it with you, because life has a way of bringing experiences to us that sometimes are costumed, if you will, or set on a stage of experience that I don't think we ever could imagine that we would experience. Now, Diana was a young mom, and she was visiting with her parents in Sierra Leone, West Africa. Her dad's a civil engineer, and her parents loved a particular bird. It was an African gray parrot, and for those of you that are not familiar with them, they are considered the brightest bird that there is, and they named this African gray Paul Parrot, and I have a special soft spot in my heart for them because I had a sister-in-law and brother-in-law that owned one. It was just an incredible, incredible bird, and Polly Parrot, well, she took a strong dislike to her mother, to Diana's mother, and seemed to be sort of jealous of her. Now, Paul was more than friendly with a lot of people, but whenever, she said, my mother tried to offer a snack, the bird would try to bite her. Now, if Dad gave Paul the same morsel, she'd take it immediately. But my mother, regardless of the way the bird acted, she just loved to talk to her when she would sit out on the veranda. And the bird's cage was half protected from the elements by the veranda roof, and it was set up in such a way so if Paul Parrot wanted to be out in the sunshine, she could. If she wanted to be in the shade, she could. And every time there was afternoon tea, then her mother would sit outside and talk to this bird. Now, it wasn't too long, and Paul Parrot would start speaking in her mother's voice, and she would call the household staff, and it drove people nuts because she could mimic her mother's voice so beautifully that people that were working would immediately come when the parrot called them, and she'd mimic the dogs, different phrases. I mean, this parrot was just unreal, and it just absolutely thrilled her, Diana's mother. She just loved it, and she would say, good morning, parrot, morning, bird. She'd mimic the dad. She would just do all kinds of things. Well, when her parents, Diana's parents, left West Africa, Paul Parrot went to live with her because she lived in South Africa for a few years. And she said, I absolutely loved the bird. And she said, there were times when I had to travel or do something and one of my sisters would take her. She said, eventually my parents retired and settled in South Africa. And at that time, Paul Parrot went back home. Now you have to remember, parrots can live to be 100 years or older. And she said, as a family, we had grown up on the move, so it wasn't a big surprise. Within a decade or so, one of my sisters and myself immigrated to Australia, and we received a phone call from my dad saying that my mother was very, very ill, and she was dying. So we immediately left for South Africa, and were fortunate to spend some time with my mother while she was still conscious and could understand us, and know that we were there to help support her and my dad. And she said, my mother died within a week of our arrival, and I stayed on for a month to help my father. Well, the parrot continued to remind Diana of her mother's presence as she would call each of her sisters in my mother's voice. And she had remembered all of their names within just a couple of days after they had arrived. And she said, the day I was getting ready to go, I was really very sad. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. I was leaving the house. And I went to Paul Parrott. And I said, goodbye, Parrott. Clearly and distinctly, as though my mother was standing beside us, Paul Parrott replied in my mother's voice, saying, come back soon. She said, since I believe in reincarnation, I wondered if this farewell from Paul Parrott might actually be a prediction. Perhaps this was the universe's way of telling me that the soul that had been my mother's was going to return to life soon. Now, this is the rest of her story. She said, coming into the present, I now have a granddaughter. When she was 3 years old, I asked her if she remembered when she was big. In other words, I asked my granddaughter if she could recall another lifetime. Her instant reply was, I remember when you were little and you drank my milk. And as she cradled an imaginary baby to her chest, I then had no doubt that my mother had come back soon as my granddaughter. I now can spend time with her in a different way, continuing to share the love that we built up for each other over my lifetime. She said, today I have my own African gray, who I named Paul Parrott. I smile every time my beloved parrot says, come back soon when I leave the house. But my parrot, my Paul Parrott, has added another phrase to his large repertoire. He also calls out, bless this day. Isn't that a wonderful story? We never know how our lives are going to be affected. And I think it's wonderful when we can share our stories, because you never know who's going to need to have a story or who's going to be perhaps listening in the background. I've found it fun whenever I've been in places where I share my stories with people, whether it's with an appearance or maybe I'm in a restaurant or standing in line with somebody. And it's almost as if when we share a story, there's a magic that goes along with a story. Have you ever noticed that? And sometimes it opens doors for people where they maybe can share a bit of their story with you and feel like something they've experienced has really had a value. I think each and every one of us have our very, very special gifts, and we have our own special stories. Sometimes they're pretty sad, but sometimes they're very joyous. There are so many experiences in life that when we can open ourselves up and share who we are with another human being, it really lights up a life in a very, very special way. And I think it allows us to share compassion. It allows us to share inspiration. It allows us to motivate and inspire. And I think all of this is so very, very important. And, of course, I guess I have always been known in one way or another as a storyteller. And that is a passion of my life. And it's one of the reasons I enjoy doing this show so much, because we're able to share so many stories and so many different points of information with you. And remember, life is full of opportunity. And you never know when a door is going to open for you. You don't have any idea when you're going to find the opportunity that you've been looking for. We were talking about finding a mate, finding a partner, not that long ago on the show here, just a few minutes. And the thing is, we have got over 6 billion people on this planet. Whenever I hear someone say, I'll never find anybody, there's just nobody decent in the world. Well, excuse me, I think the odds of you're finding someone, gracious, if you've got over 6 billion, there's something that's going to work for you. But you can always sit in your little hole of disbelief and say, nope, it'll never happen to me. And I guarantee you, it will be fulfilled that way. Sometimes you just have to let life go. You have to let it grow. You have to let it be. Because that's the only way it can bring it to you, is when you are making it okay that where you are right now is going to be the best place possible. And then, well, we'll just see what can come your way. Have that attitude of enthusiasm. You'll find it. It takes you miles. Now, this is Donna Sebo. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do that. Give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And also, quickly, I want to mention, tomorrow we're going to be talking about how to make moving easier for you. Lots of people I know today are just getting ready to sell their houses, they're getting ready to move. It's that time of year. We're going to make it so easy for you. My guest tomorrow is going to be Kathy Kopadice. And she is just a doll, and we will just have so much fun sharing with you. Okay, we've got some other wonderful guests that are going to be coming up during the week also as well, so I'll be giving you that information as we go along. Don't forget, you can call up and chat with me if you'd like a free reading on the air, 877-876-5227. Donna Sebo here. We are going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and give me a buzz if you'd like for me to give you a free reading on the air, 877-876-5227. I wanted to share a little bit of science with you. We have so many fascinating creatures on this planet. One of them is the platypus. This is, you know, an animal that is so unique, we are just amazed that evolution evolved this kind of a creature. Well, guess what? They have found a fossilized remnant of an animal that's entirely unique. This one is a new fossil with the tail of a beaver, the teeth of a seal, and the habits of a platypus. And apparently, the earlier mammals were far more advanced and adventurous than what any anthropologists or scientists could have imagined. Now, previously discovered what they call Jurassic mammals were miniature mice that probably dodged the footsteps of dinosaurs in their evaluations by eating insects and worms at night. Now, there is another mammal that is 10 times as big as any other known mammal from the time, and I'm going to try to say it because the word is just phenomenally long. It's Castor cauda lutra similis. Yes, you know, it's nice, one of those nice big words put out by the scientists. Well, it was different. It was hunting fish in the Inner Mongolian lakes and rivers, and they say it was a giant among all of the midgets. And this is an individual, Lau, of the Carnegie Museum of Natural History. Now, they were equipped with webbed feet for paddling, and they took to the water apparently 164 million years ago, beating the next mammalian swimmer by 100 million years. Sort of hard to wrap your mind around that much time, isn't it? It also had hallmarks of modern mammals, including hair and sweat glands, and the presence of sweat glands is a strong clue that the females could nurse they're young, because mammary glands are essentially sweat glands that secrete nutritious excretion. And this discovery supports the emerging view that mammals were already an important part of Earth's menagerie tens of millions of years before dinosaurs left the scene. Isn't it amazing? People are finding out so many things that we didn't have a clue about. It's always exciting to find out about new discoveries and new happenings. And also, remember what I said a moment ago, telling stories and sharing information is so important? Well, there's a wonderful lady by the name of Kelly who really was having a tough time. She very much wanted to have children, and that wasn't happening for her. And she said she just couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She was overweight by about 40 pounds. She said she felt tired, fuzzy-headed, grouchy. And she was talking with her husband one day. She said, I just don't think I'm ever going to feel like my old self again. Well, she started doing some research. And when you start doing something like that, it means you're going to make discoveries for yourself if you're willing to be persistent. And she was. And she found out some information by a nurse, Marie Annette Brown, who is with the University of Washington. And she talked about how when you get to be a certain age, you can suffer a mild depression. So she went through the book, and by the name of the book, it was called When Your Body Gets the Blues, and she said, due to a lack of sunlight and exercise, plus a shortage of serotonin, the brain's feel-good chemical, those components in and of themselves could cause a sense of depression. Well, living up here in the Pacific Northwest, I know how much the SAD syndrome affects people and how very, very important light is. So, this is what Kelly did. Kelly started taking a brisk daily walk and getting as much sunshine as she could during the day. She would turn the lights down in the evening, and she started taking vitamin and mineral supplements. She said, this sounds so easy, but I'm going to do it anyway. And she said, you know what? When she started following this patterning, she ended up feeling a lot better. And about a month later, she gets on the scales and she finds, to her wonderful surprise, she had dropped 5 pounds. And she said she just sticks with this program. And she went from a size 14 to a size 8. And by the way, she ended up adopting a beautiful baby girl. She and her husband are just absolutely thrilled. They have the family that they've wanted for so long. And she said, you know what? I don't have the blues anymore. I really feel wonderful. And I feel like I'm myself again. So, again, let me just share with you the tips that worked for Kelly. Walking outdoors, she would walk for 20 minutes or more, and she did it quite consistently, 5 days a week, sometimes more. And she said she'd get some sunshine. Now, in certain areas of the country, especially during the winter months, I know here in the Pacific Northwest, it's very difficult to get sunshine. So full-spectrum light is another option for you. And you can get that, and you can sit under that full-spectrum light, and you'll feel great. And also, supplements. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, nutrition is so important. You've heard my talking about the glyconutrients. Nutrition is mandatory in today's world, and you're not going to be able to get it all from your food. So supplementation is very, very important. B vitamins, folic acid, vitamin D, vitamin E. You know, investigate these things. Don't just take my word for it. Be aware that your body, especially as you mature, you're going to need more of this than you ever dreamed you possibly would have to need. So it's very, very important for you. Take care of yourself. You know, you are living in a vehicle that I just think is awesome. I think that the human body is just an incredibly spectacular living machine. But when you're not feeling good, you don't think it's so hot. Well, part of our responsibility is taking care of ourselves so that we will feel good. So remember, be good to yourself. It made a difference with Kelly. And maybe you have something special or unique that you have to research on your own. When you do that research, don't forget to be willing to ask questions. Nobody has all the answers to everything. Ask questions. Find out what you need to know for yourself. It's a do-it-yourself process, and it's an ongoing one. Well, I know we're going to be closing the show in just a moment. Quickly, I want to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking about how you can move easily, efficiently, and quickly. Also, we're going to be talking about how belief works, and that's going to be on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we're going to talk about how you can deal with dehypnotizing yourself, unhypnosis, and then overcoming under-earning. We've got so many wonderful subjects to share with you. And don't forget, July 1st starts a brand new showtime for the Donna Sebo Show. We're going to be on from 11 till noon starting in July. So you want to make sure you make a note of that. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got so much to offer. And I'm so glad that you are the special person you are. It makes my day. Make yours a special day, too, by sharing your talents and gifts with other people. This is Donna Sebo. God bless. Bye for now. Talk with you tomorrow. Have a great day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.